This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Nice. Old James Brown. You know, Howard Richards, our good friend, somebody sent me a picture of Howard, and he's in a beautiful suit. In fact, I got to show you this. He looks like a combination of like John Shaft and Hollywood Henderson.
Is this during his CIA days or during?
No, this is when he was a high school like all metro football player. And there's this picture of him. You have got to see. He looks really sharp. Check this out here.
70s leisure suit.
That's what I told
him.
He goes, "That's not a leisure suit." Look at that. Doesn't he look good?
Oh, nice. Look at that.
With that full beard.
Fly collar.
Yeah.
Big smile.
Anybody not like Howard Richards? He is the best.
He is the best. Great guy.
Charlie Marlowe is with us, kind of a round table. We have Plowsy, who, by the way, advocating a really strong point today on the morning grind. He said high school basketball should have a shot clock. Charlie, your thoughts?
100% agree.
Yes. And you've seen enough games to where it's paint dry in the fourth.
I've thought that from back when I was a horrible high school basketball player myself, because you'd have some teams that they, you know, end of a half, end of a quarter.
Oh, my God.
If they're up 7 points, whatever, and they'll just stall the last minute and a half of a quarter or a half or the third quarter. And that is so boring. I understand it's probably hard for a lot of these schools to get the shot clocks and then have them working. I mean, we see some miscues on the professional level, so that would probably be an issue. But
and the
sometimes,
expenses.
Yes, it's really boring.
Yeah, I mean, just think, if you're up 12 with 3 minutes to go in a game.
You have no hope.
Yeah.
For the other
you're
team,
down.
Absolutely
yeah.
no hope.
Yeah, so good move by Plowsy today, even though Doug and Bob were against
Rammer, he's a traditionalist, he's old school, and I love Rammer to death, but he was not a fan.
And Doug seems like the kind of guy who would enjoy boring basketball, so I'm not too surprised by
Doug
that.
With the short shorts, high socks.
Yeah, you know.
Game one,
Chuck Taylor Converse.
50 points scored is too many. We got to keep it in the 20s.
So I should know this. Obviously, NBA, 24 seconds. College is now 30, correct?
Yeah.
How about with high school? How about 40?
That's
what
Alvin
Reed said, 40 seconds.
That's fair.
I thought 35 is plenty to get a play going, you know, but 40 I can deal with. Any clock that has the ability to get players moving and get the ball into the hoop.
Who would be against it? I mean, players don't want to sit in a zone for 3 minutes doing nothing, or players don't want to hold the ball for 3 minutes. We're doing a piece on Greenville University, one of our great sponsors. And they had this incredible style where they shoot 100 shots a game, 50 threes. They sub every minute, and they get shots up every 12 seconds. I mean, who wouldn't want to play that? Who wouldn't want to watch that?
That's fun, and that's basically what the Warriors did for a while. And now everybody's doing it. So the Warriors still do it, but I feel like the rest of the NBA has caught up. You especially saw the Rockets last year just jacking threes. And I think it's because all the analytics that came with baseball, I think you saw it in the last 4 or 5 years with the NBA, and the Warriors were the first to do it. Now, obviously, their personnel also led to that style with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, but they basically said, look, here's the math. If we take this many amount of threes and we shoot within the first, whatever, 10 seconds of the shot clock, if we make 35% or 40%, you basically can't beat us unless you're doing the same type of style, because we will have so many more possessions and so many more shot attempts than you.
And you're right. It is the Rockets. It's Daryl Morey, who's the biggest analytics guy in the NBA. And maybe they didn't have unbelievable talent, but last year they had this incredible regular season. I mean, they have good talent, really good talent. But
what's funny, though, too, is so the Rockets do that last year. If I'm not mistaken, wasn't it the Rockets in a postseason game last year that missed something crazy like 25 straight three-pointers?
I think that was game 7 against Golden State, wasn't it?
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, James Harden may not be the greatest player with everything on the line. Although I put him in my top five. Did you hear our list of top five yesterday?
I did not. Let's hear them.
Okay. The brow, the beard, the Greek freak, the king, and then my fifth is Durant I have over Curry.
Oh, that's good right there. I don't know. I feel like
I might put
Durant and Curry both over.
If you had to have
Harden.
One of those two. Oh, okay. I guess
on
what
the
you're
same
saying.
Team.
Got Harden right
but
now.
But man, Curry, I mean, before Durant got there, remember that he led that team to a championship and almost two.
He has hurt a lot.
I think the problem with your list, though, especially I'm not a Kevin Durant basher. I think his off-the-court antics and his weak psyche, it just throws me off. I don't have Kevin Durant in there. I have Kawhi over Kevin Durant. Stripping Kawhi for 35 minutes a game guards the best player on the floor.
I can see Kawhi.
And that's my only debate with a Durant is six to me. Kawhi is in the top five.
I can't argue against Kawhi.
It's
I would
hard
just
to make
him.
A top five.
But we are talking about a two-time finals MVP.
Yes, Durant is unguardable for sure.
I'll tell you what. Last year, we went to cover Jason Tatum playing in Milwaukee against Giannis.
I had him in there as well. Yeah,
I was there for the shoot-around with the Celtics, and I go back for the game later that night. And I was there really early doing live shots and all that for Fox 2. And so all these guys are doing their shoot-arounds before the game. And just walking by Giannis, I can't remember in my life ever being more impressed just by a physical specimen.
He's only growing. He just started getting
muscle
mass.
Did you hear what they said on Christmas Day? He said since the time he entered the league till right now, he's added 50 pounds of muscle.
Yeah, when you look at him drafted, he was just my size, only 6'8", 6'9".
He's the best dunker I've ever seen, like in terms of during a game. I'm not saying a slam dunk contest, but he just dunks all over. It doesn't matter.
That's true, and you see him sometimes in a game where he almost dunks from the free throw line.
Yeah,
I always find it really funny when you see guys now doing the dunks that would win the dunk contest. When I was growing up, you're watching those dunk contests in the 90s, late 90s, whatever it is, and then you see these guys now doing the dunks that won the dunk contest in the game. And, you know, this is an obvious statement, but back in the day when LeBron was in high school at Akron, St. Vincent, St. Mary's, and everybody was talking about him, and he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And if you remember that senior year, a lot of his games were on ESPN. And he was basically doing like a barnstorming tour of all the big cities in Ohio, playing all around Ohio. And I remember watching a game. I was at Bradley as a student, but I was watching LeBron play. And when I really knew this dude was going to be unbelievable, is he did that dunk in a game where he went between his legs and dunked. And I believe that was the dunk that, was it Harold Miner did to win the dunk contest?
Yeah.
But he did the dunk that won an NBA dunk contest in the 90s in a high school basketball game. Think about that.
Wow.
During the game.
That's insane. Well, I mentioned this before. This is Cameron Fletcher at Vashon. He had dunks the other night against Roosevelt, which would have won dunk contest years ago in the middle of a game. And he's 17 years old. By the way, LeBron's senior year, he actually handed Vashon and Floyd Irons their only loss.
Really?
They went there and they played against LeBron. It's their only loss.
No, I remember my parents went and saw LeBron play because he really did. He traveled, you know, he's in Akron, but he'd go to Cleveland, he'd go to Toledo, he'd go to Columbus, he'd go to Cincinnati, and 10,000 or 8,000 people would go to watch his high school games that year.
Wow.
That's just like barnstorming.
Well, I'm getting back to that Kawhi and Kevin Durant debate. You know that Kawhi's career average is 17.6 and 6 rebounds.
That's his career average?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, granted, early in his career, he had to play kind of a complimentary role with all those Hall of Famers.
And then last year's kind of a wash, too.
Yeah. This year, Kawhi, he's going crazy again, though.
Yes.
It's hard, though, with Kevin Durant. It's really hard to separate the off-the-court stuff.
I can't. He gets a pass, too. LeBron is under a microscope 24/7. What Kevin Durant has done with the making of burner accounts, making a signature shoe with tweets from people hating on his decision to go, that is kind of crazy. And if LeBron James were to do that, you would not hear the end of it on ESPN. That's why I have a beef with Kevin Durant. I think he is very weak mentally, very weak
mentally.
Well,
he's certainly insecure.
Oh, 100%.
He reads everything.
100%.
He hears everything. He would always get into little spats with the media members and all that. And that's where you can absolutely criticize LeBron for leaving Cleveland the first time, especially the way he did it with the decision. I think he didn't realize, even though a lot of that money was going to charity, how bad that would look doing it on
terrible national
television. But at least they kind of created the super team.
Yeah.
And he brings Bosh and Wade's already there. With Durant, I mean, remember how close the Thunder were to actually winning that series. And if they improve a little bit, there's a good chance they could actually beat the Warriors. So when you can't win and you go to the great team already.
He won 73 games before he got
there. That's what I'm saying. And the Warriors had already won a championship. It's Steph Curry's team. They have Klay Thompson. And then you add arguably the second best player in the NBA. I mean, right now, is it fair to say that the Warriors have, what, three of the top 15 players in the NBA? certainly yes. two of the top 10. And for a while, Draymond was a really,
yeah.
really
good player.
But
a
long, although he's had a really
not
rough
even,
year.
Yes.
Isolated, great game earlier in the season. But I'll tell you what, though. If my decision of keeping Durant comes down to getting rid of Draymond Green, I'd drive Draymond Green to the airport right now. I mean, look, I know that this guy was an effective player on championship teams, but he is abysmal right now. You know, he's shooting, I think, 22% from three. I mean, why not just when you're playing at 4-on-5, just say, you go and shoot all you want, because if you shoot it, we're going to win the game.
And what's his career? Because for years, he was arguably the best shooter in the NBA, along with Steph.
Draymond?
Draymond. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Clay.
Oh, no. Clay still will be fine.
But Draymond's always been respectable.
You're right. He has knocked down
three. This year, he's brutal.
Yeah.
Wasn't Draymond about
he's averaging
50%? Wasn't he close to 40 from three for a while there? I believe he was. He was a much better offensive player than anybody thought he
would be. He's a 32% career free throw shooter, a 3-point shooter, and he's 22% this year. So that's not good. And he's averaging 7 points.
Yeah. If you can make 35% as kind of a point forward big man, you're doing okay, especially in that offense. But man, 22%.
And I don't think it's going to make a difference, though. They'll probably end up keeping him because I think Durant's going to go. And he'll go with Kawhi to the Clippers because Jerry West is a great recruiter. And then all of a sudden, it doesn't matter if – who would you rather have? The Clippers duo of Durant and Kawhi or the Lakers duo of the Brow and the King?
Lakers.
I think the Lakers could have a trio here soon with the Greek Freak. I think I would be very interested to see where he goes.
I don't know how they could afford all three.
Oh, it all depends. I mean, I'm sure – they could find a
way. That would be wrong.
Did the Greek Freak sign his deal, though? I feel like nowadays the NBA has made it, you can make so much money with the team that drafts you because all these small market teams are mad that all the super teams are being created.
And you can make plenty in endorsements.
No, I get
that.
But I feel like the contract you can sign with the team that drafts you is so much higher now. Guys are making something like $40 million a
year. It's $30 million a year more, and you get one more extra year in your contract if you stay with the team rather than hitting.
Yeah, but how many great, truly great, legendary NBA players spend their career in Milwaukee?
Lou Alcindor.
Yeah, that's why he had to go too.
Michael Ray Allen.
Michael Redd.
4-year contract.
Michael Redd, gosh.
4-year contract for the Greek Freak in 2016. So he'd be up in 2020.
So what was his number there?
$100 million, 4-year, $100 million.
So he got $25 a year. I feel like when
just
he
imagine he's
his
making
max $25 deal.
Million a year,
he's going
and
to
Otto
make,
Porter's making $26 million a year.
He's going to make $45 million in that contract.
That's a bargain for Milwaukee.
The NBA is crazy though. At one point, Mike Conley Jr. was the highest paid player in the NBA. I remember at something
I think
like
he's very underrated,
25.
But certainly doesn't deserve the
money.
I think he was in the $28.5 million
this
range.
This is St. Louis's Memphis Grizzly Station.
It is.
We love Mike Conley.
They had to pay somebody though. They didn't have anybody else to pay.
look at Bradley Beal though. Bradley Beal signed
26.
I think it was a 26 average, and I think he has a couple years left. I looked this up the other day, but he signed it when he was 23.
Wow.
It was a 5-year deal. He's going to get another one when he's 28, and he'll still be in his prime.
And he
basically
might get a 3-year deal after that deal.
Now, you see, that would be a third option for the Lakers if you got Beal. That could
that
be realistic. A guy that won't demand the ball, be a spot-up shooter for LeBron. That would be great.
It fit in a lot better than the Greek Freak. I would just like, I love small market teams, but in this scenario, I would like to see the Greek Freak go and join a duo of some kind. I think that'd be fun.
Barkley was on the other day, and he was talking about how he hates these super teams and everything. And he said, well, what happens to New Orleans when this deal is made? Who cares about the New Orleans Pelicans? Now we care about their highlights and watching them from time to time. Now, as soon as this deal's made, it's over.
That's why I hate the super teams, and I actually hope Giannis does stay with the Bucks. I understand if he doesn't, but that's where, to me, the NFL, they've done it right, where you can be a small market team. Now, it's important to obviously get that quarterback, and sometimes there's some luck there. But I feel like in the NFL, there's much more competitive balance, 1-32. And you can have teams, whether it's Green Bay, whether it's Baltimore, you can have teams that are not in the big markets. If you're smart and you draft well, you can compete and win a Super Bowl. And in the NBA, I mean, if you're one of those teams like Milwaukee, if you're one of those teams like New Orleans, and you've gotten a generational talent, but if you don't build around him, are you going to win a championship? And then after 5 years, that guy wants to go somewhere else. He wants to go to the Lakers. He wants to go to the Knicks.
All right, let's take a short time out. That segment brought to you by Greenville. I recommend you going to Greenville's website, finding out when they're playing their next basketball game and going to it, because it's basketball like you've never seen it before. They are the most exciting team I think I've seen in years. Greenville University, a proud sponsor. They do great things at that university, about 50 minutes from downtown St. Louis. Before we go to break, quick word about Maryville University, too. They're continuing to build a more diverse and inclusive campus. It's a core value of the institution and one of four pillars in Maryville's strategic plan. Maryville.edu. We'll be right back.